take your Bible, Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. Song of Solomon and chapter number 5. And we continue in our series this morning, Too Committed, Experiencing and Enjoying Marriage God's Way. And this has been a journey. We're on week number 16, and there's only a few more to go, I promise. So we will be over before the end of the year, but I trust that the Lord will use some of these things as a strengthening opportunity in your relationships. And that is what God has given us a heart for here in our class, is to take time to study the home, whether it be marriage or parenting or some other thing that would strengthen that area, and to spend a lot of time there during the year. And so we hope and pray that this has been a help and a blessing to you. Song of Solomon in chapter number 5 is where we're going to look in a moment. Inside of every bulletin is a companion handout, and I want to encourage you to grab that, follow along, fill it out, take it with you this week. Jot down maybe some things that God will do in your heart. We have several that are visiting today, so let me quickly, in a nutshell, give you the backdrop. We started 16 weeks ago out of Ephesians chapter number 5, where God challenges wives to reverence their husbands. 4 times in that chapter, God tells husbands to love their wives. We spent a couple of weeks laying the foundation. What does that mean? What is love? What is reverence? Now we have spent about 8 weeks or so. How specifically can we love? How specifically can we reverence our spouse in a way that's honoring and pleasing to the Lord? And today we're going to talk about how to reverence from the wife to the husband, appreciating his desire for shoulder-to-shoulder friendship, a friendship dynamic within the marriage relationship. Look at Song of Solomon chapter 5 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly, O beloved." The terminology in a relationship, O beloved. Okay, look at verse number 10. My beloved. There it is again. All right, and then look at verse number 16. The Bible says, "His mouth is most sweet." Now, I don't know how she figured out what his mouth tasted like, but what do we got in the bulletin? Something about next week we're learning, I think, about esteem. And then the week after that, we will study the physical intimacy within the marital relationship. And so we'll come back to that, all right? But he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend. My beloved, my beloved, my beloved. This is my friend. A terminology, a description of this relationship where this husband and wife, these spouses, had developed a friendship together. Now stop and think about when you and your spouse were dating. In those times, you would think of anything you could in order to spend time together. Often you would do stuff you would not normally do if it meant you could spend time with them. We often were brought out of our comfort zone, or we tried something for the first time that on our own we maybe never would have attempted. But if it meant time together, if it meant being able to do some things together, we wanted to do it. But then what often happens after marriage is that begins to wane, and the wife begins to kind of do the things that she enjoys, and maybe getting together with the girlfriends and so on. And she encourages her husband to do what he enjoys and maybe get together with the guys and to do that. And there begins to be a separation or a distinction when it comes to activity, recreation, having fun, and doing much of it apart. Now, stop and think about right now in your relationship. And we have a diversity in our class as far as how long been married, things like that. But just stop and think about your own relationship. And ask yourself privately the question, when's the last time you just had fun with your spouse? When's the last time just the two of you had a ball? I mean, just had a great time, just had fun, did something together, enjoyed something, whatever the case may be. But when's the last time in your relationship you just had fun? And there is a common trend in marriages today that there's a drifting when it comes to this idea of having fun together. There's fun being had, but it's not between the husband and the wife. And this is something that some wives don't even understand how important it registers on their husband's radar. So how can we excel in reverencing this desire in this area of his life? And let's look at that this morning. Number one, I want us to see the importance of shoulder-to-shoulder friendship. The importance of shoulder-to-shoulder friendship. Now, spending this kind of time together, having fun, recreation, whatever the case may be, with his wife, for the husband, in many surveys, ranks second only to the physical relationship oftentimes. It is something that is held in high regard, having this type of relationship, having this kind of connection, having fun and enjoying this type of recreation together is very important. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and in verse number 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him. Sometimes husbands just like their wives to be with them and to partner with them or to experience with them a particular activity or recreation or whatever the deal may be. So this is important in his life. It registers with him. Why? First of all, because of the deposit of time. Because of the deposit of time. Now, in a series last year, Keeping the Fire Burning, we studied how much time should husband and wife spend together. And we studied that on average, great marriages spend 15 hours a week together. That's a lot of time. That's a little over 2 hours a day. I think if we thought about our week and all that we had going on, boy, did we spend 2 hours a day with our spouse, uninterrupted, focused? Maybe not. We've got some work to do. But it takes time to have a great relationship, a great marriage between husband and wife. And in time can be spent in this area right here, having this shoulder-to-shoulder friendship, enjoying recreation together. And this is how men communicate. They like to share experiences. They like to do something together. Again, conversely, a lady might like to go to Starbucks. Let's get a cup of coffee. Let's sit down, look at each other in the eye, and let's talk for 2 hours. And we're learning to do that, all right? But that may not be what we would choose to do together. We might enjoy, you know, I don't know, anything but that. But so we would enjoy maybe some recreation, you know, and let's go to a game or let's go whatever, you know, let's go have fun. Let's go do something together. And it is the way in which he speaks. And sometimes for a wife, she can begin to think, well, how does doing nothing build our relationship? I mean, he wants me to go out and do some yard work and we're getting some things done, but we don't even talk. He wants me to watch his game with him, but I mean, I've got laundry to fold and lunches to prepare and things to do. And I don't get it how just being with him makes a relationship better. In my mind, many wives think, we're not doing anything. And I just want to tell you, in his mind, you're accomplishing a lot. Man, this was great. This was awesome. This was fun. Thanks for doing it. And you're thinking, what are you talking about? We said like 5 words in 2 hours. He's like, yeah, man, it was awesome. You know, we think differently. But there is a deposit of time that registers to him in a very significant way. So it's important to have this kind of time together. Secondly, for the reason of the development of togetherness. The development of togetherness. Now, and you may have this quote in your notes, if you want a fulfilling marriage, your favorite recreational companion must be your spouse. Now, let me stop and clarify quickly this morning. I did not say your only recreational companion. I'm not saying that you know, ladies, you can never be with anybody but your husband. Husbands, you can never be with anybody but your wife. That may not quite work, all right? But if you want a thriving marriage, you want your favorite recreational companion to be your spouse. And if we're not careful in marriage, we're married, we manage the home together, we parent children together, we pay bills together, we, you know, whatever. But then all of our fun is with somebody else. And all the memories we have of doing that or going there or accomplishing that or this experience or that whatever is with this group of guys or this group of gals or this co-ed group, which our spouse is not a part of. And I just want to encourage you this morning, make this a priority. because it's going to develop togetherness and begin to cultivate in your relationship. Man, if I could do that with anybody on planet Earth, it'd be my spouse. We enjoy doing things together. It's something that we need to make a priority. The Bible reminds us in Titus, and we studied it before, in verse number 4, that they may teach young women to be sober, to love their husbands. And we know that wives instinctively love, but the word love there, phileo, means to like, to have fun, the brotherly kind of love. And God is reminding ladies that it is important to have that aspect of your relationship. Nobody's doubting this morning that you love your husband, but do you like him? Does he know it? Do you enjoy his company? Do you enjoy doing things together? Do you instigate activities where the two of you can enjoy some recreation time together? It's important. Why? Because it's a positive time and it's the development of togetherness. Let's look secondly then, how do we do it? The instruction for shoulder-to-shoulder friendship. How do we cultivate this kind of time, this kind of connectivity in our relationship? Well, first of all, letter A, you must discover mutual recreational interest. You must discover mutual recreational interest. Now, it's not rocket science to figure out that if what I love to do recreationally is something that Susanna hates, that she may, out of the heart of being a good-willed wife, go along, but it's not going to take long to where it's just miserable. Because I'm loving it, she's hating it, she's kind of biting her lip and getting through it, you know, because I want to do it, but we just go on. And vice versa. If we always do stuff that she loves and then I just can't stand, but striving to be a good-willed husband and wanting to spend time and I soldier on, okay, it happened, we could check it off the list, but it's miserable. So how can we have more recreational time together? By discovering mutual recreational interest. I gave you the little diagram there on your handout, but this would be a great date topic this week if you're looking for conversational pieces, all right? You have a date this week, get a pen and paper out and say, all right, honey, what are your favorite recreational activities? And you ask him the same. What are your favorite recreational activities? What do you enjoy doing? If you could play a game or do this or do that or enjoy this experience, what would it be? And write them down and get a list of 10, 15, 20 of them or so apiece. And then go back through them and identify what would both of you enjoy. And you're going to find as you go through this exercise that there is some overlap. That there are some things that he enjoys and she enjoys, and that she enjoys and that he enjoys. And there's going to be some things that neither one of you enjoy doing that the other may. And I'm not saying you can never do those things, but it certainly shouldn't be what you're always doing. If we're not careful, we as Christians don't behave as Christians in marriage. We say we're Christians, but then we live so self-centered. Like, well, what's wrong? I enjoy doing this, so I want to do it. She doesn't like it. Tough. Well, I enjoy doing this, and I enjoy going there. If you don't like it, tough. And it's just kind of like, hey, this is what I enjoy doing, and they need to get over it. They need to learn how to like it. And we're Christians in name, but in our relationship, we serve self. Isn't the Christian model of the home to die to self? And to say, honey, what would you enjoy doing? Now, if I could pick out of that list of 20, I think I could do these five better than those 15, all right? Let's try there. Let's start there. And by the way, sometimes these likes change. Sometimes you start doing something you've never done and say, well, that wasn't so bad. I could do that again. I could endure that, you know. And so some of this stuff evolves. But we want to have a Christian, a Christ-centered approach. It's not self-centered. It's not selfish. It's discovering what would mutually be enjoyed together. And then letter B, and this is obvious, but then do the relational activities that you and your spouse can enjoy together. So discover what they are. Take some time this week, discover what are they, and then do them. Don't just discover them. Don't just tab the date. Don't just put the activities on paper. Do them. Calendarize them. When are we going to do them? Is it going to cost money? How are we going to budget for that? Do we need childcare? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Plan this stuff out. And by the way, husbands, and I'm teaching to wives mainly today, but husbands, can I encourage you to plan, to help, to instigate this? When's the last time you have prepared some recreational activity for you and your wife that you knew that she would enjoy? But we want to plan these things and do them together. Now, again, not everyone in life can do everything they want. That's obvious, right? There's a lot of people in life missing out on what's really important because they're just focusing on what they want to do. Well, if my relationship with God is one, spouse is two, children is three, ministry is four, job is five, friends are six, and me is last, yeah. Then I'm not going to have more time with friends than I am with wife and kids. I'm not going to have more time with friends than I am with God. Right? Because I'm living by priority. I have a bigger yes burning inside that makes it easier to say no. Not that I'm anti-social. Not that I'm anti-having friends. I'm just really for a relationship with God, really for a great marriage, and really for having good kids and a good home and knowing I'm limited. I'm limited in my time, I'm limited in my energy, I'm limited in my resources, and I want to make sure what little I have that I redeem, that I squeeze the life out of it, that I place it in where it's going to be used most effectively and where it will be most important. And so not everybody can do everything. You're going to have to do what both of you can enjoy together. The Bible reminds you in Proverbs 2:17, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Wives, there was a way that you enjoyed this type of activity in dating life and engagement and so on, and there was a covenant you made till death do us part. And sometimes if you're not careful, and you may not have even seen it, but you've neglected the covenant. Your husband's having fun, and he could recall memory after memory after memory after experience, and the problem is in the last 6 months, you're a part of none of them. That's a problem. That's a problem. Satan hates our guts. He wants to devour our lives and destroy our homes. It's hard enough to stay married and stay happy and thrive and live for God if we never have any fun together. That's misery. That's the definition if you look in the dictionary. And we need to focus on, man, let's have some fun together. Let's plan for it. Let's make this thing happen. It's important. And by the way, guys, we may give up some television viewing. Ladies, you may give up some, you know, window shopping. I don't know what it is you're going to take off your list. I just want to tell you something. If you'll go through that exercise and if you'll shed some stuff off the list that's truly not important, and you'll find things you can do together and have fun, it's going to make a difference in your relationship. It's going to strengthen. It's important. Then thirdly, let's look at the incentive for shoulder-to-shoulder friendship. And I want us quickly to look at three reasons why spouses should discover and participate in these recreational activities that they can enjoy together. First of all, letter A, it exposes the care that both spouses should have for each other. The care that we should have for each other. Again, I alluded to the fact that, and this is the His Design class, it's designed for husbands and wives and couples and people preparing for relationships and family, and it's all centered on doing this God's way, all right? And when we make this an important area of our life, it exposes the fact we care about our spouse. Again, we are refusing to live self-centered. Our marriage is not just about us. It's about our spouse. It's about our kids. And we're living for them, and it exposes that care. Listen to this thought. If one spouse sacrifices his or her enjoyment, then it means the other one is willing to gain at their spouse's expense. Honestly, listen to me. What kind of husband would I be if my wife soldiers on and does what I want to do every time we go to do something, but I know she doesn't like it, and I'm okay with it? I would be a jerk. Right? That I would be willing to have a good time at the expense knowing she's not. That's not biblical leadership. That's not being the kind of husband that God would have me to be. I don't think that's pleasing in His eyes. Now, she may need to grow a little bit. If you sit down and come up with 25 things a piece and she doesn't like any of them, then you might need to branch out a little bit, all right? and it might need to be a little give and take and trying something new. But what I'm saying is, don't have this mentality in the relationship that, well, this is what we do, or this is what I do, and that's not going to change. So after today's lesson, I just hope you figure it out. Yeah, that's caring. Man, that's awesome. No. But when we find these things and we do them together, it's exposing this care that we're to have one for another. Being sensitive that they're not just in misery when it comes to this area. By the way, Brother Roel, I like to do this, that, or whatever. Everybody has different interests. But I've never even thought about doing that with my spouse. I have friends, I have coworkers, I have acquaintances that we do that. I just want to tell you something. I'm not saying all that is bad. I'm just saying there's a red flag in the counseling and the ministry that I do. There's a red flag when the husband and wife are never having fun together. So expose the care we're supposed to have for one another. Find something and do it together and enjoy it. What else is an incentive? Letter B, they endure over time. When you and your spouse are doing recreation activities and things you both enjoy, you're likely to do it again. This is such a simple principle that quite frankly, I need to learn over and over again, and we all do. If my wife and I want, if she wants more affection, then we need to learn to have affectionate relationship in a way we both enjoy. If we want more physical intimacy, we need to learn to enjoy that in a way we both enjoy. If we want more quality time, if we want more recreational time, you fill in the scenario or the criteria. If you want more of whatever, then do it in a way that is enjoyable for both. Find the middle ground. That's why in Ephesians 5, submitting yourselves one to another. Wives are always to reverence. Husbands are always to love. But find the middle ground in some of these areas and help one another. They will endure. If you're not careful, you think about recreational activities and, man, we did this, or wasn't that awesome at that game, and I remember that moment, and we can look back, and we've got pictures of it, and we have memories, but none of them involve our spouse. And that isn't good. We need to find these areas where we can be enjoying this together. Why? Because letter C, it ensures deposits into each other's relational accounts. Men love recreation. They love to do stuff, accomplish stuff. They feel good about it. And when they're sharing those experiences with their wife, guess what? They feel good about her too. It's just natural. It's a natural byproduct of this. We were both there. Remember, we came over that precipice when we climbed that hill, and look at that. Or we were there on the front seats and that game and that overtime, and that was awesome. And you could be thinking, I didn't even know what sport it was. Doesn't matter. You were there, all right? That time counts. And it made a deposit. It helped. And you could learn about the sports, and he could learn about nails or whatever. So making deposits into each other's account. And again, wives, but we're not even speaking necessarily. And Peter reminds you and I that it's without the word, through behavior, that someone can be won. In Ecclesiastes, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Men, have we not learned in this class that we should look our wives in the eye and have long conversations? Absolutely. And we'll continue to be challenged in the area. But wives, there are times where you can enjoy some recreation with your husband, say very little over a long period of time, and to him, it could be as energizing as it is for you to sit down at Starbucks and talk for 2 hours. And I know you're thinking, that's not true. And I'm telling you, yes, it is. It's blue and pink. It's the difference between husband and wife. As energizing, as energized and as valued as you get over those 2 hours of uninterrupted quality conversation time, he can feel that same way enjoying recreation with you where you barely even talked. It's just the way we're wired. And I'm not saying never talk. I'm just saying balance, all right? Know what you would enjoy. Then lastly, we're out of time. The increase from shoulder to shoulder friendship. When we become our spouse's favorite recreational companion, what does it provide? Letter A, camaraderie. Camaraderie. Why? Because we've had time. We've given each other attention. We're working on spending that time together that we've learned about, that 15 hours a week. We're determining to make our marriage fun. I am a huge advocate for marriage God's way. I'm against homosexuality. I'm against divorce. I'm against what the Bible's against. I'm for what the Bible's for marriage in the home. But can I tell you something that gives us a black eye? Is when we have people that are married and they're miserable. And the next generation is looking at guys like me saying, you want me to do that? Why? I mean, you might as well just put me in cuffs now. It just looks like a life of misery. It just looks dismal. And I'm telling you, they need to see happily married people. How do you have happily married people? You have fun. You see, I thought this was like adult Bible fellowship where we're studying the Bible. Listen, I'm a bottom shelf practical guy, all right? There'll be other weeks for that and we'll get it and we need it. But today we're learning about, we just need to have fun in our relationship. The couple that plays together stays together. Man, keep life fun. And believe me, I know. Schedule, life, finances, kids, pressures, whatever. Man, it robs that area of the relationship so fast. And we need to come to a class like this and hear a lesson like this and go home and say, hey, enough of that. Fooey on being miserable all the time. Let's have fun. What can we do that's going to be fun this week? And plan one thing. It may not be 15 hours of it yet, but find something and start building on it. It's going to give you that camaraderie, that closeness in the relationship that you need. And then lastly, it's going to give you contentment from meeting a basic need. Wives, can I have your ear for a moment? This morning, if you feel like, Brother Rule, it's been a long time since I've been able to draw out of my husband a connection where I felt like we were intertwined, where I felt like we were connected on a level that no one else was connected with him. If honesty be told this morning, I feel that way. And I just want to say to you this morning that being with him, enjoying some recreation and activity, not going into it for the purpose of, okay, I'm going to spend a few minutes and then I'm going to unload and he better talk. No. Just go. Just have fun. Just be with him. And I want you to see over a couple of weeks how it's going to change his demeanor towards you. And how not only will he begin to talk to you, at every now and then he'll instigate the conversation. You say, oh, that'll never happen. It will. It will. Because there's a basic need that he has for recreation, for activity, for time together, for enjoying experiences and accomplishments with somebody. We've talked about how men like to show, you know, man, I got the lawn mowed. Come see it. You know, I got this clean. Come see it. You know, we like to show what we've done. It's the way we're built. And if you've got boys, you know what I mean? Because you don't have to tell them. They just, man, look at this. You know, it's the way it is. It's DNA. It's wired. And if you will step back and say, okay, I'm not going to beat my head against the wall, so to speak, and try to force conversation. I'm just going to look for opportunities to go have fun and be with them. And by the way, men, and we've learned, we want to make sure that we're meeting her needs as well. And that where there's neglect, as we've learned in weeks past or next week regarding esteem, we've lost that as well. We need to learn about that. But then in that balance, there's harmony. And as we close today, I want to encourage every person in this room, would you just take a moment right now and just say, is our marriage fun? Do we have fun together? If I answer honestly, do I enjoy being with my spouse? I'm not asking if you love them. I'm not asking if you're committed. I'm not saying you're getting a divorce. Just be honest before you and God. Do you like your spouse? Do you like being with them? Do you like spending time with them? And the answer to all those may be yes. And then I say, when did you do it? When are you doing it? When is your fun time together? What is your recreational activities you enjoy doing together? And just this week, take some time and say, God, forgive us for being a little too self-centered and refusing to enjoy this together. And help us in a very selfless way to come together, developing a list of things we can do, and go have fun. And I want to tell you, you say, Brother Roll, this is so simple and basic. I know. But you add this to your marriage, and it will help. Just having fun. Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for some time together in your word this morning. And I pray, Lord, that we would heed your Spirit's work in our lives. Lord, that we would examine our relationship and say, we want our marriage to be awesome, on fire, thriving. Be an example. And may we examine our lives and our relationship and our time, and may we look for an opportunity to strengthen this area of just having fun together, doing recreation, enjoying activity. And may this week, as we examine what that might mean and what adjustments we need to make, may it make an impact in our relationship that's pleasing unto you. And we'll share praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.